Attitudes toward church leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17-25. The word pastor means shepherd. A faithful pastor should be given spiritual and material support, while an unfaithful man should be treated fairly with Christian love. Writing to Pastor Timothy, Paul gave counsel to members of the church on how to treat their pastors, which has been valid for nearly 2,000 years. Part number one. Respect and honor faithful elders. 1 Timothy 5:17, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. While the fifth commandment requires children to honor their fathers and mothers, the implication is clear that the parents should be worthy of honor. Abusive, immoral fathers deserve no honor. The same principle applies to elders of the church. Paul lays down the rubric. Elders who carry out their duties, preside, conduct their office well, are deserving of twice their salary, Williams, or stipend, New English Bible. This translation sounds great to me, but Paul's expression, the double portion, is the Old Testament idiom for the birthright blessing. The apostle seems to be using the Hebrew phrase for the naturally derived or innate special blessing or consideration of the firstborn, rather than the literal ideas noted above. Paul's meaning is that because of his calling and office, the pastor has an inherited, an innate right to adequate remuneration. He is the heir of it. He also explained to the Thessalonians that they should esteem their pastor highly. He based his advice on the Old Testament. The ox which helped in the harvest by treading out the corn should be given his share, and the workman who worked all day is worthy of his pay. Deuteronomy 25:4. Paul has already urged the young Timothy, first, give attention to public reading of the scriptures. This would also include private reading, which will result in making all who accept their teachings wise unto salvation. So reading the Bible, publicly and privately, is the first requirement of preaching. Second, exhortation. This is preaching, purpose of which is to help to make decisions, to induce action. We exhort to activity. One, preaching presents the theory, exhortation, live up to it. Third, doctrinal, the purpose of which is to impart true, inspired information on which decisions, actions of Christians should be based. These three points are very important. He was to give attendance, give thyself wholly to them, to reading. That's the beginning. Read the Bible. Read it again and again. And every time it is read, the Spirit makes it clearer. Then proclaim it. Preach it. Induce others to follow it. And make sure that all the teaching is solidly doctrinal, fits in with every nuance of meaning from the scriptures. The apostle particularly stressed the value of that ministry which had to do with preaching and teaching, which the Lord mentioned in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Go into all the world and preach and teach all that I have commanded. I like to stress all the alls of the Great Commission. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. since I have all power and am powering you and commissioning you into all the world, all power into all the world, teaching all things to all men, and I am with you always to the ends of the earth. The Gospel Commission, totally embracing. While all this advice is for public ministry, Paul in his next letter also urged Timothy, that's 2 Timothy, and all pastors to make sure that they continue their personal devotions faithfully, to proclaim only publicly and live an evil life secretly or inwardly renders a preacher's work null and void. Part number 2, how to deal with an erring elder, 1 Timothy 5, 19-21. Paul warned Timothy against an elder, do not ever receive, entertain, consider an accusation, charge, except confirmed by the testimony of two or three. This is an inspired requirement, Deuteronomy 19:15. How many problems would this principle avoid if accusations, innuendos, must be supported by two or three witnesses? Too often suspicion, rumor, hasty judgment, whispered into some eager ear, soon blossoms into a full-blown accusation. This destroys a career, ruins a reputation, wounds innocent heart, wrecks a family. All these hurts are impossible to remedy wholly. Then when these whisperers are later exposed to have no basis in fact, even more heartaches result. But when the evidence against an elder is established by two or three witnesses, those who are guilty, public sins, continue to sin, make it a practice of sinning, force of Paul's verbs, should be exposed, rebuked publicly for the entire church, so the congregation may be warned. Paul continued in effect, I charge, solemnly call upon, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ and of his chosen angels, not the fallen ones, that you observe, adhere to these principles without prejudice, without prejudging one person before another, because they are your special friends, Taylor. This solemn charge stressed that all church decisions are open to the eye of heaven, and should be made with full evidence and with competent impartiality. Point number 3. Caution regarding ordination of elders, 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay the official hands of ordination on no man suddenly or in haste, Paul warned Timothy. This stresses that care should be taken. In many places we meet men, Ellen White said, who have been hurried into responsible positions as elders of the church, when they are not qualified for such a position. They have not prior government over themselves. Their influence is not good. Church is in trouble continually. Hands have been laid too suddenly upon these men. Testimonies 4:406-7. In refusing to deal with the sins of the elders of his church, Paul informed Timothy, he would become an accessory and thus responsible for them. He would be condoning them and thus become a participator in those sins. In contrast, Timothy was to keep himself clean from all wrong. Part number 4, advice to Timothy for his health. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thine oft infirmity. This advice from Paul to Timothy has been seized upon by too many as a license to drink wine. We've already thought of this in a previous lesson. Ellen White said, Christ himself had forbidden the use of fermented drink, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when he go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest he die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that he may put difference between the holy and the unholy, and between unclean and clean. Leviticus 10:9-10. Fermented liquor confuses the senses, perverts the powers of the being. God is dishonored when men have not sufficient respect for themselves to practice strict temperance. Fermented wine is not a natural production. The Lord never made it, and with its production, he has nothing to do. The elder, the deacon, the members of the church must practice strict temperance in what they eat and what they drink, the drugs that they take into themselves, so that their minds may always be clear to serve their master. Part number 5. Leaders' ministry and eternal consequences. 1 Timothy 5:24-25. This passage regarding sins going before to judgment can be easily understood in the light of the daily ceremonies of the sanctuary, culminating in those of the Day of Atonement. The Lord required that sins be acknowledged and confessed as soon as the sinner became aware of them. The penitent then accepted the death of his substitute sacrifice, whose blood recorded his confessed sin in the tabernacle. Only confessed and forgiven sins were there registered. These confessed and forgiven, forever forgiven, sins had gone before or preceded the sinner to the Day of Judgment, represented by the Day of Atonement. The blood drops of the sacrifice recorded these sins in the holy place. If your name is registered in the Lamb's Book of Life, then all will be well with you, Ellen White explained. Be ready and anxious to confess your faults and forsake them, that your mistakes and sins may go before to judgment to be blotted out. Testimonies 5:3-31. For those who have not allowed their high priest to care for their sins by his blood, there will come a day of reckoning when all their unconfessed and unforgiven sins will show up to condemn them. They have refused to accept the ministry of the cleansing blood of Jesus in their lives. In the same way, the good deeds of some are equally well known to God. And those wicked works and even foul words which men will try to conceal cannot be hidden in the Day of Judgment. Summary. Elders should be carefully selected and ordained at the right time. Their lives should be exemplary, and their preaching and teaching according to Scripture. Paul is very clear and forceful in the advice he gives to Timothy, in all the relationships that he had, he should maintain the ideals that Jesus Christ and the Word of God so clearly present.